Welcome, everyone. We're so glad that you've joined us for online worship again. Oakcrest Baptist Church is excited that you are glorifying and honoring the Lord and putting your focus on Jesus Christ. So we thank you for tuning in with us. And at this time, Pastor John's going to prepare our hearts to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've come and joined us today, you've come hopefully to hear who Jesus is and therefore see what that means for your life. That essentially is the most important thing for you to focus on today. Pastor John?
Yeah, and as we come together, we do want to direct our focus on what we are doing and to worship as we sing this beginning song. It says, "The Lord God Almighty reigns," and that's something that we should think about, have in our hearts and our minds every day, every moment of the day. So let's just spend a few moments in preparing our hearts for worship.
Hallelujah.
You are holy. You are holy. You are holy.
What an honor to know that we join the host of heaven in declaring the holiness of the Lamb of God. And they are singing with us, we are singing with them. As we turn to the Word of God, we're going to read from Psalm 50:15 today. And just thinking about that same chorus that we just worshiped with, the psalmist tells us, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Very important passage of Scripture for us to acknowledge today in the day of trouble, that we would call upon our Lord and our God, trusting in His deliverance, and then knowing that our trust, our faith, our worship, our praise of our Savior will bring Him glory and honor. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we do come into Your presence now, directing our thoughts and our focus on exalting You for who You are, on acknowledging and thanking You, God, for Your provision and love over our lives, for Your deliverance through the day of trouble, on acknowledging, God, that You will be glorified, truly honored and magnified as You display Your grace through our lives and as You display Your mercy through our trials. God, that's just the way You operate. You are worthy of our praise and honor and glory and our focus today. Father, as we see You lifted up, as we see You for who You are, Lord, we magnify You. You are holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So we come now, Father, asking You to speak into our hearts from Your Word today. Show us who You are that we might see who we are to be. We praise You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, wherever you are today, as you listen and look on to this worship service, we'll continue to look into Mark's gospel as he shows the disciples on a journey of faith. A journey of faith as Jesus is slowly revealing His power over nature, over demons, over death, all the while answering that very question of who He is and revealing who we are to be as His followers. And if you're not His follower today, if you've never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, then hopefully this will answer the question for you of who Jesus is. And when you see that question answered in Scripture, you will know exactly what to do, to bow down before Him and confess Him as Lord and Savior. We pray that would be so today. And as we look at the breaking news of Mark's gospel, as he continues from event to event, we see that Jesus today has power over disease and death, and we'll see that in Mark chapter 5. So if you'll turn in your copy of God's Word, Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. It's a long section of Scripture, and I'm going to read it out for us today. Actually, I'm going to let you read it wherever you are in your living room, wherever you are, in front of your computer screen or television screen, as you join us. If you would just choose somebody to read, or you might read by yourself, I'll give you a moment to get ready, and then I'll proceed in forwarding the slides as you continue to read together. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Go ahead and read that. what an amazing story, an event that takes place here. We actually see two miracles in one, two for the price of one. And what's neat about this is, as Mark continues his documentation of what's going on and continuing to show how Jesus has power over these things, we have the contextual backdrop of the four soils, the parable that Jesus had shared earlier with the people in Capernaum. And we have that backdrop here in all of these stories that have taken place, because we see the Gentiles from the region of the Gerasenes that we looked at last week. They were the hard soil, refusing to hear the gospel and asking Jesus to leave. Then we see the crowds here as the rocky, thorny soil. They're willing to accept the seed, but they don't take it readily. They don't take it wholeheartedly. They're really just there for a time, for entertainment. And then today we see the story of Jairus and the woman, and they are the receptive soil, and ones who are willing to receive that and by faith take the gospel and the truth that Jesus is who he says he is, and by faith act upon that. So we're going to take this passage of scripture in two parts as we look, and I want you to notice a couple of things as we look at these events. First of all, notice the personal touch that Jesus has as he seeks to be involved in the midst of the lives of these people. He's come back across the sea in search of those that he would assist. He is not interested in a social distancing religion, and we need to remember that. Discipleship for him is not something that is done at a distance. It is done by connecting. Discipleship for him means relationship and connecting. So if nothing else, we need to allow this pandemic to remind us of this, that though this is a temporary time and a temporary necessity of being apart, discipleship at its heart is about connecting with people. And Jesus does that. He connects with these people on a very personal and profound level. So notice the personal touch that he has. And also notice this. Jesus is no respecter of position. He is for everyone, whether it's a prominent person of the synagogue or whether it is a poor woman who had spent all of her money, disease-ridden and helpless and hopeless. Jesus is there for everyone. Boy, that should warm our hearts. That should really encourage us that no matter what our circumstances today, no matter what you are in, Jesus is there for you. Jesus and his disciples have made their way across the Sea of Galilee to find a large crowd waiting for him right there. He starts back with his norm of teaching, and right there at the shore, met by this huge crowd, they have thronged against him, and he's all of a sudden interrupted by a desperate faith. We're going to look at these desperate faiths that are expressed here. It seems that Jairus, this first one, who is a ruler of the synagogue, more than likely was an elder of the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, that's right where Jesus has landed with his disciples. That's right where Jesus had headquartered a lot of his ministry in the Galilean area. And Jesus had been doing a lot of his teaching right there, even in the very synagogue where this man was a ruler. So it is quite probable that this synagogue ruler had seen Jesus cast out that first demon from the synagogue in chapter 1, verses 23 and following. So it's quite probable that this ruler had seen him and had heard his teachings as he had healed so many in the area. Now, Jairus was coming with a very sincere faith to Jesus that he would heal his daughter. And he would have been one who was intimately connected to the Pharisees and scribes, being in the position of a ruler of the synagogue. But notice here that politics and religious parties don't really matter when it applies to his daughter. His daughter who was about to die, on the point of death. So we know that this situation was very urgent. It was very serious. And he was desperate in this urgency to find help. So he humbly falls down before Jesus and makes a public confession, basically, of his need for Jesus to help and his belief in Jesus' power to do what was necessary. And then in verse 24, we see the throng of people that they had thronged about him. We don't see that today unless you go to Home Depot or the grocery store at certain times. We're not experiencing a throng of crowds anymore, but there was a throng of people going along with them as Jesus had agreed to walk with this man and go to the place where his home was, where his little daughter was. This throng didn't really seem to care about the urgency of this issue. Though they would have heard, they would have seen Jesus, you would think that the urgent need that this girl right on the brink of death would cause them to part the path like an ambulance that is coming through on its way to the hospital. But the herd of people were just there, gathered around Jesus, wanting more entertainment. What makes matters worse for Jairus is that as Jesus is progressing to his house, this whole situation is interrupted by another desperate faith. Now, what we call interruption, Jesus always took as an opportunity to minister. Why is that? Because he perfectly understood God's will and timing. So what we call interruption, God calls opportunity. And we need to remember that today, especially, that it's a good word for us because God has interrupted our lives, our norm, the practices that we would have every single day. God has totally interrupted that and allowed that to be interrupted by the presence of this social distancing and all the quarantines and everything that's going on in our lives. But God interrupts our lives for a reason. So one of the main things we need to be asking was, why is God interrupting or allowing this interruption to take place? What reason? What is he accomplishing? What is he doing? And in this situation, we see another desperate faith that needed to be addressed. And a woman here who was hemorrhaging with blood, a disease that had affected her for 12 years, as long as what we find out this little girl was alive. She was a person in desperate need of help and a heart that was ready for faith. When we consider the other gospel accounts and we consider what Mark has revealed of her situation, we know that she had spent all of her money on different doctors and different things, searching desperately for some kind of relief, but never found it, to the point where she had spent all of her money. Now she is desperate, on her back, helpless and hopeless, with no other hope of being healed. And there was the religious aspect of her situation, because that she was bleeding. Leviticus 13 tells us that she was alienated from society. She wasn't allowed to go to the temple. She wasn't allowed to worship. She really wasn't allowed to touch people because they would become unclean as long as she was bleeding. So she was desperately left with one option here. We see that she comes to this one option, and she had a faith in the power of Jesus to heal her. She also had the embarrassment of her situation. So she kind of devises a plan, and that's the way the passage is written, that she devises this plan based on an imperfect faith, but an honest faith, almost speaking to herself. And on the inside, Luke tells us that she was thinking these things to herself, but at least this faith recognized the greatness of Jesus' power. Though she thought that she had to touch him for power, to her, Jesus was more of one who possessed power, and she wanted to secretly access that power. And often we kind of make that same mistake, that we approach God as if he is the possessor of all this power, and we could just get at that power and access that power, then we could overcome our situation. But what she had to come to understand was that he's not just the possessor of power, he is the very power. As one commentator said it, her faith needed to come full circle. Her faith needed to come full circle. This woman was hoping to just touch Jesus' hem, his tassel, I think, as Matthew shows. And she thought to herself, if I can just do that, then I will be made well. Now, she experiences the healing of her situation immediately within her. She realizes the blood has stopped. She could have walked away healed, but there's so much more that Jesus wanted for her life in this situation, and also so much more that he wants for our lives, for our faith to be made complete. Then just being saved from sin, we could have so much more of an abundant life. So Jesus sought her out after the instant healing. because he wanted her faith to be made complete. We saw in the passage of Scripture that we read earlier in Psalm 50 that when we call on him and we are delivered, then we will bring him glory. And we see in this situation, her faith had to bring him glory. That was what would bring it full circle. See, she could have walked away temporarily healed, and she would have probably eventually thought to herself, well, you know, I reached out and grabbed the hem. It was my faith that made me well in accessing that power. Well, who would the glory have gone to? And so often we even see in our own lives, we make that mistake of thinking, well, even about our salvation sometimes, it was my faith, or it's my faith in this situation that's going to bring me through. And that's not at all what faith is. When blessings descend from heaven, they must, in the form of thanksgiving, be returned back to heaven by those who have received it. See, we must give glory to God because it's him that has made this healing possible. We often worry too much about how people perceive us, or even how we perceive ourselves, and we don't want to admit that we need Jesus. But it's to his glory that our messy lives portray grace. And at this point, this woman had believed in her heart, but she had not confessed with her mouth. And Jesus wanted to put that right. So he sought her out, this one who touched her with faith. He sought her out that she might have a complete faith. See, we know that Jesus is, in his divinity, omniscient. We know that in his humanity, he has laid aside some of those powers and workings of his divinity in order to fully embrace humanity in perfect submission to God. So here in this event, we see the perfect mixture of his divinity and his humanity as his divine power is right there. And yet, he lives in this moment of his humanity. He knows the people's heart. He knows her heart, yet he searches out this person, allowing her to be the one to come to terms with what she had done, to come to terms with who he is, and then to be able to make that confession herself. So he puts this question out, who is it that had touched me? Basically ignoring what the disciples say in their foolishness of trying to logically describe the crowd that has come around him. He's focused on her. He wants her to hear him. He wants her to come confessing before him. So she does. Knowing what she had done, knowing what had taken place, she comes trembling and fearful. If you will, think back to what has just taken place in Mark's gospel. Like the others, fearful and hopeless before in the miracles of the storm being stilled, or the people who had known the demon-possessed man and then coming with more fear, now she comes. Notice this theme of lordship as she falls down before him in submission. And the important part of our discipleship that we must notice here is that we are also to come in fearful submission, laying before him. Well, she comes and lays before him. She bears her soul. She explains everything. The scripture tells us here that the whole truth was laid out for her. So she makes a very great confession here, trembling before him because she doesn't necessarily know exactly how he is going to respond. But then listen to this. She responds with a word of comfort as she says, as she hears him say, daughter. He calls out to her, daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured. Be healed. What an encouragement this must have been in her shame and in her guilt to hear him call her daughter. In the shame and guilt of your sin today, whatever it might be, know this. He wants to come to you as a loving parent. Jesus longs in pursuing and grabbing and bringing you to him as a loving parent, but you must come in total submission, bearing all things before him in lordship. And he will encourage you. He encourages her faith to come before him and to experience the peace and the total healing. She was an outcast. Her life was dominated, maybe not by demons, but by disease. But praise God, there is a deliverance from the shackles of sin and disease and the curse of sin. And that deliverance is Jesus. Oh, how we must cry out to Jesus in our time of need. We need him more than ever now. It is important in our moment of desperation that he has driven us to this desperate call on our need for him as Lord, to fall before his feet in fear and awe and cry out. Would you sing praise to God in this moment? Would you join me as we worship him and make this song a song of prayer, a prayer of desperation of our need for Jesus?
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh,
perfect song to express our prayer of desperation as we think about this passage of Scripture and what Mark is leading us to in these events. In the midst of this large crowd, there were two people who had notable faith, two persons that Mark wanted to bring out to show the gospel truth. And their stories reveal a difference between their faith and the rest of the crowd who was there. I mean, the crowd was reaching out. They were touching Jesus. They were bumping into him. They were thronged around him. But it was one touch of faith that made the difference. And then in this next passage that we've read, the faith of Jairus, who believed that Jesus could heal his daughter, as opposed to all the crowd who, and as a matter of fact, would even laugh at him when he comes into the house. We see these two faiths stand out and cry out, Lord, I need you. So I hope that was your prayer and your cry of desperation today, of your desperate need for God. Now, if I was Jairus and all this had been going on, I would have been so impatient. Imagine walking through the crowd knowing your daughter is desperately sick on the point and the brink of death. And here's another interruption that comes and another thing comes. And just my personality, I'm so task-oriented. I'd be just going crazy, wanting these people just to get out of the way, wanting this lady to get out of the way. Jesus is winding up this interruption, which was really a moment of ministry, when here come these messengers, now more than ever with a message that all of these interruptions were a deadly delay. But Christ has a message for them. See, these messengers had no faith that Jesus could do anything now, because they knew something that they were about to tell Jairus. So they kind of rudely dismiss Jesus, and they dampen the hope of Jairus as they tell him, death has come. Your daughter is dead. You don't need to bother the teacher anymore. There's nothing more than he could do. They didn't think that there was anything else that he could do. Yeah, they had seen him heal people. They had seen diseases be pushed away. They had seen demons be pushed out of people. They had seen all these great miracles take place, but at this point, they hadn't seen someone come back from death. As a matter of fact, death was the ultimate end. There was no hope left at this point. Jairus had trusted in Jesus and his power to heal, but now the situation had totally changed, because death is that insurmountable obstacle, the curse of mankind that we could not get over. But the neat thing here, as the Greek describes it, Jesus overhearing their words. But there's so much more than just overhearing. Some translations say ignores their words. But Jesus hearing this and paying it no heed, ignoring it as a worthless comment by these men, he responds then to Jairus and says, do not fear, only believe. I want you to underline that. If you have your journals of the Gospel of Mark, I want you to highlight that passage of Scripture, because this is so applicable to your life as a follower of Christ. These are the words of instruction to every believer in every circumstance. Do not fear, only believe. Do not be frightened of this situation that seems beyond your ability or beyond anyone else's ability to handle. Only believe. See, faith is only possible where there is something fearful in the situation. Think about that for a second. Faith only needs to be displayed where there is something so overwhelmingly fearful that it is beyond your ability to overcome. Therefore, you need to faith in a source of power that is greater than this situation. And that is exactly what God's instructions are. Therefore, we as His children, we are going to face fearful moments, because God has determined that He will often put us in a situation so that He is glorified when our fear is overcome by faith. Because that is so true. God is glorified when we trust in His power over something. So as His children, we're going to face fearful moments, but we must remember Jesus' instructions here. Fear not, only believe. Because there's only one way to drive out fear. And that's something you need to remember. That's something I need to remember. There's only one way to drive out fear, and that is to believe. Not in self, not in mankind, not in government, not in cures to a virus, but to believe totally and wholeheartedly in the power of Christ. Mark continues to put forth these situations that are so similar. I want you to notice as Jesus enters into this house, he continues this journey with Jairus and certainly his own messengers who are coming back with him to the house. And Jesus has put the crowd behind him as he moves toward the house, and he's called on his disciples to go with him. And as they enter this house, notice the picture of chaos. Very similar to the wind and the waves of the storm. Very similar to the demon-possessed man who was wild, who was uncontrollable. All of this bringing similarities to the story here. There was great noise as he entered the house. Confusion. People were weeping, real weeping, and also those professional weepers that would come in. I mean, this had gotten to the point of death. Everyone knew that this little girl was dead now. And it's just one of the many evidences that this girl was dead and not in a coma, as so many have tried to suggest in trying to belittle the scriptures. We know this girl was dead. All of the weepers were there. The medical professionals who had been beside her had determined this child was dead. The messengers had left the house to go and tell the father this child was dead. But then Jesus calls it sleep. That in itself is a reason for us not to fear death as a believer, because Jesus has redefined this situation by saying this child is asleep. In that moment, Jesus redefined death as a temporary condition. He uses the metaphor of sleep. And Paul even agrees with him in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul agrees, and he uses that same metaphor of death. But the crowd actually laughed at Jesus. Laughed in his face when he said this. Because like the parables, they would not understand what's going on here. And they would even react differently. So Jesus puts them out. Now often Jesus would just speak a word and display his power. But there's so much more tenderness in this situation we need to notice. He's told the father, just believe, don't be afraid. And he comes in, he puts the crowd out because they're not going to understand. He calls forth just his inner core of disciples. He brings the parents, they enter into this room. And we see the tenderness displayed here as he takes this little girl's hand. I mean, this little girl had probably been very fearful in her own death and facing this illness, but she awakes now as he has lovingly taken her by the hand and raises her back to life. And he begins to show here that he has power and victory over death. But not only that, he begins to show that he lovingly walks with us through our fearful moments. So when Jesus says to this father who has just heard that his only daughter, his 12-year-old little precious daughter has died, Jesus says, do not fear, only believe. He doesn't say that in the absence of his presence. He says that as he himself walks with this father through this situation. Oh, be gloriously encouraged today as Jesus tells us the same thing. In the midst of our fearful situations, Jesus takes us by the hand and says, only believe. Now, these disciples who he had called into his presence there, they needed to hear this. They needed to see this. They needed to see this to answer the question, who then is this who has power over death? And the parents needed to see this. They needed to understand. But Jesus told them not to say anything because the time wasn't ready yet for the Messiah to be proclaimed. He had put the crowd out because the time wasn't ready yet for them to, not understanding, proclaim him as king. Not until he was resurrected from the grave. So for that time, he told them not to tell their resurrection story. This intersection of faith, this moment of fear meeting faith, when Jesus would take the hand of this little girl, now these parents had a resurrection story. Now the disciples would have a resurrection story. Now we are transformed to tell our resurrection story. I want to invite you all to remember that God has transformed your life for a reason, that you have a reason to tell the story. I was so encouraged this week as we saw people going out and typing up their resurrection stories, putting it out on Facebook and other places. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that in these days ahead. People need to hear that when you faced fearful situations, the Savior, Jesus Christ, took you by the hand and said, only believe. Fear not, only believe. And maybe you're here today and you're in that moment of fearfulness. Fear because of the guilt of your own sin. Fear because of what's going on with the COVID-19. Fear for the economic problems that you might be facing. Fear because of a whole number of things that might be going on in your life. Hear the words of our Savior. Fear not, only believe. Would you join me as we worship in song together?
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love. My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. Only you are my King. Amazing love. my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
What a beautiful and true song. And I really think that gives us another emphasis of that challenge this week, that you would go and put something else on social media, send another message out, maybe through email or just a letter. Let people know of a fearful time you've had in your life and the loving Savior, the amazing love that your King has extended to you and shown you and given you. Just to share a few things that are coming up in the weeks ahead. We are going to have a drive-in, not a drive-in for Wednesday. On Wednesday the 22nd, we're actually going to have small groups meeting together, and they're going to be doing on Facebook. They're going to be doing it on Zoom, and a lot of different opportunities for you to find a group. You can look on Faith Life. There are going to be several different leaders in the church that are going to host one of these groups, and you can sign up with them and to get the invitation and know about the time that you're going to do it. Most of them are going to be on Wednesday. Some of them might not be able to be at the same exact time because of parents watching kids and different things like that. Some groups are men's groups, ladies groups, and some are couples. But look out for some of these groups so that you can be involved in a small prayer group middle part of next week, in order just to connect with people and have some time praying with your brothers and sisters. And then we'll be back again for drive-in worship service on the 26th at 10 o'clock again in the softball field. And so we want you to join us there if you feel like you can and feel comfortable, and invite other people. You might let other people know that we're doing this. Some people might not even know that that's an option or a possibility. So if you'd let people know that we're doing that, you might have friends or neighbors that just want to get out of the house and go and do that, and they don't have to have contact with anybody. Also, remember that the youth are continuing to meet on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., and doing their live streaming and group meetings. So you might know some youth that want to be involved in that. Just shared with you a little bit about the online life groups that we'll be doing on Wednesdays. Also, we have things for the kids, Bible material, Bible study material, different activities and things. If you'd like to get some of those, you could drop by the church office and find some of those. Don't forget that part of your worship is through tithes and offerings, and you can do that at obcocala.org, and we'd encourage you to do that. Or you can mail it in as well, and that would be fine. So if you're new to Oak Crest and you've just discovered us online, or maybe a friend has led you that way and you want more information, don't hesitate to visit our website, obcocala.org. You can get a lot of answers to your questions about who we are as a church, what we believe in, that we are here to exalt the Savior Jesus Christ, equip the saints for service, and to extend the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, we're thankful that you came and joined us for this worship experience today. Have a great week.